Thank you for joining me in today's broadcast of The Love Way. It's so exciting to share the message of God's unconditional love with you in the area of faith. Today we're going to just continue to speak on faith, and we're going to start to move into doubt and unbelief, what it means, how it works, because that's what we struggle with. So many times we struggle with doubt, unbelief, and we think in our minds that doubt is a natural thing that is with us, but faith is something that comes hard. Now that is wrong. If doubt can be with you naturally, it means faith can be with you naturally, because it's got the same source, words. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, we're going to read that from Romans chapter 10, but before I read that, I just want to get into Matthew 11 verse 28. The Bible says, "All you that labor and are heavy laden, come unto me and I will give you rest." Labor means to work hard. Heavy laden means just one thing. It means to be tired of the practicalities of religion, ceremony. To be tired of doing all those rituals all the time just to get something to work. And so many times faith is a ritual. We become tired when it comes to faith. And we're not supposed to be tired. We are Christians. We are born again. We are supposed to enter into the rest. Doubt is not something that's in ample supply and faith in little supply. Let me tell you this, faith is in ample supply, especially in the New Testament. The gospel, the good news, the Bible says that He poured out His Spirit. There's nowhere where we can go without knowing His Spirit is there. There where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Where the gospel is preached, there is liberty. If you've got a Bible in your house, and you've got a good news message that you can read out of that, I've got good news for you. Faith is in ample supply. Trust, belief is in ample supply, and doubt in very short supply. Hallelujah. We must change our minds. It's not easy. I've come to the point where I say it's not easy for me to doubt. It's easier to believe. It's not easy for me not to have faith. It's difficult not to have faith. I'm persuaded of Jesus. It's difficult not to believe. It's like somebody that's been raped and molested. If you take that person, it's difficult for that person to trust somebody else because they've been abused by other people. Now, as difficult as what it is for somebody to trust somebody else when he's been abused, that's how difficult it is for me to fall into doubt. You might say, "Bertie, but you're full of pride." No, I just want to say this, that faith and that belief doesn't come out of me. I know in my own ability I cannot believe. I cannot. Without Jesus, I cannot believe. Without Jesus, I cannot have faith. It's all because of Him. Faith is not something you do. It's something that happens to you if you can hear what Jesus Christ has done. If you can understand what He has done. If you look at Matthew 13, where it speaks about the sower that went and sowed some seed. You know what it says? It says that the seed that fell on the good ground is he that hears the word and understands it, and then it brings forth fruit. Now, the heart is where the word falls. If you in your heart, if you with your mind can understand it, it will produce a belief. And out of the belief is where everything functions. Out of your trusting and reliance on God's ability, everything flows out of that. Just remember, doubt is not in ample supply. It's in short supply. Unbelief is in short supply. But when you are in the good news, when you start to reason with God's reasoning, it's not difficult to have faith. It's easy. It comes naturally. Just as natural as what doubt and unbelief is in the law, under the law mentality, that's to the other side, as ample supply of faith and belief there is in the good news. Hallelujah. You know, I wanted to make a study of doubt and unbelief, and I realized the word doubt only is mentioned in the Bible 13 times. Only 13 times. And faith, hundreds of times. Hallelujah. So the good news is not full of doubt. It produces faith. It produces faith. Hallelujah. Think of it that way. Start to get your mind into God's way of thinking. Is it easy for God to doubt? No, he doesn't doubt. Why? Because he looks at what Jesus has done. That's his reality. He lives by it. His mind is saturated by that. He is filled with that. That's why he cannot doubt. And we're going to look into that. But let's just get into Romans chapter 10. And we're going to read from verse 9. It says, if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. Now what he says here, he says, if you confess with your heart and believe with your mouth, you shall be saved. You know, so many times we use the scripture and we speak about confession. It's so many times a thing that doesn't really line up in this sense. We are so scared, and the whole truth about the gospel which is preached here in Romans 10 is being perverted in this. If we believe with our hearts and confess with our mouths that Jesus Christ is Lord, we shall be saved. Now what we think is, we think that those two things are separate. We think, well, you can believe in your heart and not confess with your mouth. That's almost impossible. The Bible says what the heart is full of flows over through your mouth. It flows out of your mouth. Now what he actually says here is, if you can believe, you will confess. Now you might say, but that's not what it says. Let's read verse 11. It says, for the scripture says, whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. He will speak, he will not be ashamed. You must say, perhaps that's a wrong interpretation. Well, maybe you have not looked in it to that way, but that's what I believe, what that scripture says. Why? For with a heart a man believes unto righteousness, and with a mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now let's take the first part there. For with a heart a man believes unto righteousness. With your heart, belief comes, and that belief brings forth righteousness. Amen. If your heart does not believe, you will not be made righteous. You will not experience righteousness in your life or a change of life. Remember what we said. Belief is formed out of what you think, what your reasoning is. If you've got a certain reasoning about a motor car, you'll believe certain things about that motor car. I laugh so many times when people come together, they speak about their 4x4s. The one says, no, but my 4x4, he'll get out on that sand dune because, and this is his reasoning, he is lighter than yours. He's got broader tires than yours. It's got a 4.5 liter V8 motor. It's got this, it's got that. You know, the weight distribution in the cars like this, that's why it will be better up here. You know, it's got a higher revs than that one, and the torque only comes in at 4.5 or 4,000 RPM. That means it's better on sand. And that whole argument causes a belief about that car. And that's exactly the same. It says, with the heart one believes unto righteousness. So if you don't have an argument that says you're righteous, how will you believe unto righteousness? Now that's just the one thing that I wanted to touch on. Then verse 14. How then shall they that call on him, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? So what it says is you first believe, and out of the belief you will speak. When you believe, confession will be made. That confession is the act of your faith. It's when you go into action. When you go into action, it manifests. Amen. Many people don't want to go into action because they don't believe. And now they are trained, just change your mouth. Just start to say it. Now what's going to happen? You're just going to wear out your vocal cords. That's all. Because if you don't believe, you can say until you're blue in the face, not going to happen. Let me give you a good example. I'm going to die of a heart attack in 5 seconds. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I have not died. Here am I. You must say, he's going to die soon. You shouldn't say that anymore. He's going to die. I'm not going to die. Do you know why? Because I'm saying something, but I don't believe it. In the same way, it works with the gospel. If you say without believing, It is powerless. It cannot work. That salvation that you speak of will not manifest because you do not believe. Why don't you? But say, but I believe because it's written in the Bible. If your belief is because it's written in the Bible, my friend, your belief is wrong. Your reasoning shouldn't be if something's because something's written in the Bible, it's going to happen. No, your belief should be this. Because God is a God of integrity, and that I can say, my reasoning is because of what Jesus has done, what is done through Jesus. My God is a God of veracity that meditates upon, habitually upon truth, which is Jesus. And out of that, He lives and moves in this world and has His being inside me. Hallelujah. That's it. We must say, He is my friend. That's my belief. Out of that belief, when we speak, it will happen. It will happen. I've seen it so many times. People, they can... And I've done it myself. You know, I just took a scripture. Well, here the Bible says... Yeah, the Bible says that if I do good, if I give, then God will give unto me. But I don't believe that God has given unto me in Jesus Christ. I don't believe that. Then I do, I give, but I receive nothing. The reason why I don't receive is because I don't believe. I am in unbelief. Now, belief comes, or trust, let me use the word trust, comes from the right persuasion. Unbelief or distrust comes from a wrong persuasion. Now, the right persuasion about you receiving is Jesus. The wrong persuasion is the law. The moment you are under do's and don'ts, my friend, you are under a it will bring forth a belief that cannot receive from God. Look at the Pharisees of that time and the Jews, and even the Jews today, and the people that believe still in the Old Testament way of believing. They've got faith. Don't think they don't have faith. They've got faith, but wrong faith. They've got a wrong persuasion. And they believe in God. They believe that He exists. But they don't. They just believe He exists. That's it. What do they believe about Him? The thing is, because of the wrong persuasion, because of the belief of do's and don'ts, you cannot see grace and mercy. If you are under the law, if you are persuaded by your works, you will not see the force of God that operates in this world today, which is grace. You'll be blinded to grace. Why will you be blinded? Because your reasoning makes no place for grace. If your reasoning is, I'm doing this, I'm doing this, and I'm doing this, then God is going to bless me. If that's your reasoning, and somebody else comes and says, it doesn't matter what you do, God's going to bless you. You know what? You will just, in Afrikaans, your heart is going to hang, man. Your mind's going to freeze. You're going to say, how am I going to do this? It's not going to make sense to you. You're not going to say no. And you're going to go back to your own reasoning. No, here it is written, if thou shalt obey the Lord thy God, then these blessings shall come upon you. And you'll be over and over in your own reasoning. And you'll be strengthened in your own reasoning and still be blinded to grace. That's it. Now, it says here, verse 14, let's read it. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? You see the whole context? Somebody needs to tell you this good news. Because if they don't tell you the good news, how will you ever believe? Because you hear a reasoning, which is the good news, which is the gospel. It says in verse 15, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the good news of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Now, isn't that powerful? It says, the glad tidings of good things, the good news about peace that was wrought in the obedience of Jesus, that being preached by somebody brings believing into his heart. And once he believes to the point he speaks, that day he's saved. Can you see how important it is to preach the good news? And that salvation is not just to go to heaven. That salvation can manifest in any place. Hallelujah. I believe through believing, through trusting and relying on what God has done, the sons of God will be manifested in this planet. You might say, oh Bertie, that's sons of God teaching. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You know, are you expecting the sons of God to be manifest? Yes, just like the angels, God, and all of nature and creation. Thank you, my God. That's what the Bible teaches. And how will that be manifest? Nothing. Righteousness is manifested by faith. Faith is God's persuasion. Amen. And that persuasion in the heart of man brings forth a belief. That belief manifests what God is and has done in this world. Isn't that powerful? That's what God has freely given us, and that's what we can walk in. Let's read verse 14 again. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Now if you take verse 14 and you take verse 10 where it says, with a mouth confession is made unto salvation, the context is to believe to the point where you call upon, where you inquire of, where you say, I receive this now. Hallelujah. So, when we believe, we will call. How will you call if you don't believe? How will you receive it? How will you take a hold of it with a purpose to make use of it, of Jesus Christ, if you cannot trust, rest your mind in that which He has done? You will not be able. Let's open our Bibles to Mark chapter 11. Excuse me. And we're going to read from verse 20. And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. And Jesus answered and said unto him, have faith in God. Now, we must really look into this. It means, it says they have faith in God. It can also say believe in God or have the faith of God. It literally means have the faith of God. Now you might say, Bertie, but that is impossible. How can I have the faith of God? Just replace the word faith with the word persuasion. Have the persuasion of God. But Bertie, how will I ever be persuaded the way God is persuaded? Well, just look at the same facts God's looking at. But Bertie, how will I ever know the facts that God has? You know, He looks at Jesus. He looks at Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. He looks at Jesus. That is His facts. That's His truth. That's His reality from where He lives. Do you think for one moment God doesn't live by through the obedience of one, many will be made just or righteous? He lives by that. God lives by the old way has passed, the old has passed away, all has become new. God lives by the human race, righteousness has been brought unto them by Jesus Christ. God lives by they are healed by Jesus my Son. God lives by mankind in Jesus Christ is seated right here with me at my right hand side. God lives by all authority has been given unto man in Jesus Christ. That's what God lives by. That's His reasoning. That's His reality. That's how He goes about everything concerning man. He is observing habitually Jesus when it comes towards you. And the moment you start to get that reasoning, the moment you put the facts, which is Jesus, the truth, which is Jesus, in front of your eyes, like we said in the previous broadcast, you know what's going to happen? You're going to have the persuasion of God. Hallelujah. You cannot be persuaded the way God is persuaded if you consider other things that God does not consider. God does not consider your poverty. God does not consider your body. He considers the body of Jesus. Let's read it again. It says, 11 verse 22, it says, and Jesus answered, said unto him, have faith in God. It literally means have the faith of God. For verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Now look at this, at that same thing in Matthew, in Romans chapter 10 verse 19. It says, when you believe, you will speak. That's it. So don't think the speaking comes first. The believing, the first thing is the hearing. You hear the word. No, the first thing is the preacher that's sent. Hallelujah. The preacher is sent. Then you hear the good news. After you hear the good news, you get persuaded by the words. That words brings forth faith. It brings forth belief. That belief brings forth an expectation of things. And that brings forth words. Hallelujah. And once that happens and it's spoken with the belief that's on it, grace manifests, the power of God manifests, and whatsoever you could say out of belief, out of resting of the mind because of a consciousness of Jesus Christ, happens. Oh, hallelujah. That's why I say you don't have to believe for stuff. You can have whatever you say. Believe in God. And whatever you say, you'll have. So, having the stuff is not the issue. I don't believe. I didn't say, well, I believe I must go onto TV. I don't. That's not. I believe in God. And then I just felt in my heart, I want to go on television. And I just said, I'm going on to television. I remember the first time I said to people, I'm going on television. They just looked at me with this big eyes and said, yeah, sure. But here I am, and I thank God I'm going to broadcast on channels all over the world. You know why I say that? Because I am persuaded of the reasoning of God. God's reasoning is Jesus Christ has given me all things. The Bible says in Corinthians, all things belongs to us. Because of Jesus, all authority has been given unto me. Everything that my heart desires has been given unto me. And that is a desire in my heart, which I believe is of God. And I just say, I tell you now, I'm going to broadcast all over the world on many channels. Thank you, Jesus. Watch this. You'll see this come to pass. You know why? Not because I confess it. Because I believe it to the point that it flows out of my mouth. Hallelujah. I believe I'm wealthy, man. I'm not into struggling. No, why do I believe that? Because there's a reasoning in my mind. He was rich. He became poor so that I might become rich. How rich? As rich as God Himself. Man, that is wonderful. Hallelujah. I believe it and I speak it. I don't speak it to believe it. I believe it and speak it. Now, I do believe that there's a sense of reading the Bible where you can just read the word and speak the word, and by speaking and reading, it convinces your heart. Now, that is what Kenneth Copeland says, which I agree with. There's a place where you speak and you confess, but it's not out of faith. It's a confession that's still, it's a persuasion. Now, what I believe when you confess, don't confess and say, I'm going to get that thing, I'm going to get that thing until you believe it. Because that is a very long process. And it might eventually not even happen. Rather, confess what He's done. So there is confession. Maybe you don't believe it. Like, say somebody says to me, you're going to get a space shuttle today. You know, I don't believe that. I'm honest. I don't. It's not, my faith is not there. But if it is true, what I'll do is, I'll get into the Scriptures, confess the Scriptures, not just the Scriptures, the Word that's contained in the Scriptures, the good news, what Jesus has done, that will produce a belief in my heart, and then out of that belief I say, this will happen, and it will happen. Bertie, but can it just happen like that? Well, ask the fig tree if it can happen like that. Yeah, ask the fig tree, it happened. Verse 22, and Jesus answered and said, have the faith of God. For I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, by having the reasoning of God, be removed and be cast into the sea, and he shall rest his mind, he shall doubt not. In other words, he shall believe. He shall doubt not. I want to put other words in there. He shall rest his mind in the integrity, veracity, friendship, and sound principle of God. In other words, being fully persuaded of the good news, let's read on. In his heart, he shall doubt not in his heart. He shall not have unbelief in his heart, but he shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Hallelujah. You know what? I believe that what I say shall come to pass. I believe my mind rests in what God has done to the point that what I say shall come to pass. I've seen it. I've walked past sick people and then they weren't healed. But the moment I said, be healed, they were healed. That's it. Now, how did that manifest? That belief is so strong in what God has done, and the release of that is by speaking on the basis of belief. Now, I want to touch on unbelief. You know what unbelief is? It's a belief that's un. It's a belief that's the wrong way around. It's a belief that was born out of a do's and don'ts mentality. It's a belief in our hearts that's got because of a wrong information. And I just want to read a scripture to just tell you what it can do to you. We're going to read Hebrews chapter 3:19. It's also a nice one in Romans. We can touch on that as well. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 19. It says, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Now, unbelief is believing the wrong thing. You'll not enter into the promise. The promise comes by persuasion of what Jesus has done. It produces faith in you. The next broadcast, we're going to just talk more on unbelief and start right there in Hebrews. So, get into the good news. Know what Jesus has done. Have God's persuasion. You'll see faith just happens to you. Believe is something naturally that happens. And whatsoever you say naturally happens and falls into your lap. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for the good news. Thank you for listening. Make use of our ministry products and God bless you.